Adults and children across the country getting more than 50% of their total calories from ultra-processed foods. This was an alarming new report that came from the CDC last week, and immediately we wanted to dive into the details of it and also talk about how do we bring that number down. So joining us now from Yale, Dr. Brian Wojack. And Dr. Wojack, thank you so much for giving us the time. What was your initial thought when you heard this report? Again, Americans ages one and older, an average of 55% of their total calories coming from ultra-processed foods. That specifically actually came from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, and that was looking at a timeline of August 2021 to 23. So we don't imagine that the number is too far off now in 2025. What was your initial reaction to that report? Hold on, let's see. We've got Yale Dr. Brian Wojack here. Good morning.
Good morning. To me, the report was both alarming and not particularly surprising, given the state of what we find in our grocery stores today. I think that unfortunately, a good deal of what is available to consume is unfortunately quite processed.
So, Dr. Wojack, can you explain, when we say ultra-processed, it may sound like an elementary question, but I ask for a good reason. What are we talking about here? Because are we just talking about going through the drive-through line of your favorite fast food restaurants? Or like you had just kind of hinted to, are these foods that a lot of people may be getting at your local grocery stores?
I would say, I don't think it's an elementary question at all. I think it's actually quite complex. There's different levels of processing, and when we think about what would be an ultra processed food is when we started adding kind of additives, and foods often don't resemble what they were initially. So an example would be, let's say vanilla, let's say cherry ice cream, okay. A cherry is not processed, right? But cherry ice cream has very little cherry in it. There's a lot of other additives. When we start adding a lot of preservatives and other items to change a food, it starts becoming ultra processed. So things like your standard kind of packaged bread, Wonder Bread is a classic example of an ultra processed food. And it might not feel like the packaged bread might be with processed, but it often is. We've gone to great lengths to be able to preserve food, and while doing that, it has kind of changed what the food is made of.
It's become more than 50% of our diet. And to that point, Dr. Wojack, do you think that people realize? So it's funny because as this report came out, I looked at it and I thought, okay, well, I eat a lot of vegetables and meats and I feel like I have a pretty good diet. But then when I looked at, well, wait, what is ultra processed? I thought, oh, man, maybe I do fall close to under this category. I think the average person when they read this may say, well, that's not me. But it could be.
That's exactly right. So I think when we think about processed foods, we think about the drive-through. But in fact, a lot of the this can be quite sneaky in our diet. So again, the things that you do want to read the labels. You want to see additives. What is a non-processed food? Right, going to the other extreme. Are things that are, the kind of classic whole food, right? So an apple is not processed, even adding salt, although not making it processing, but if you add salt to meats, that does increase its level of processing. It doesn't make it ultra processed necessarily, but we want to see, we think about the kind of classic fresh, meat and veg is a truly non-processed food. Even cheeses are processed foods, right? They're often kind of not always that third, that fourth level, that ultra processed, but still They're kind of in that third level. So depending. So the big picture is that we need to, if we want to minimize, I think it's impossible to eliminate it in the current society. But if we want to minimize this, we want to pick up things that aren't in a can, right? Pick up things that are fresh, maybe and local, probably, right? Because if it's from somewhere, if it's had to go a long distance, if your meat has had to go a long distance, it's probably processed in some way. So the things that mom kind of taught you growing up are still true. You know, having those whole foods that haven't had a lot of modifications will get you closer to get that ratio moved a little bit. Does that make sense?
It does. It absolutely does. And I think it speaks to something that I know the state, you know, tries to push, but I think sometimes it gets lost in translation a little bit and could become a little salesy. But the importance mm-hmm. of supporting local and the ideas that we have local farms. I mean, we have over 5,000 farms in the state of Connecticut. And there's sort of a misconception that you're going to spend a lot more if you go to a farmer's market or you go to a farm to get your foods. But, you know, I think the thing that, you know, when a report like this comes out, the first thing I think about is, okay, even the stuff, like you just said, Dr. Wojak, there's so many foods that even if they are organic, if you will, so the fruits, vegetables, you don't know where it came from. That could have been shipped from Florida or California to get to here. And then what did they use to make sure it's still good when it gets on the shelves of our grocery stores here in Connecticut? So the idea of, okay, do I want something that may be a buck or two less than what I'm getting at the farmer's market, but I'm going to have a healthier diet going to a farm even to get your fruits and vegetables. To me, that is one solution. I think if you're going to invest in food, I think food quality has to be near the top of the priority list, quite frankly.
And I'd agree with you, although I will clarify that the shipped orange would not be considered ultra-processed, right? So I don't want to frighten your viewers to think that every orange from elsewhere is ultra-processed. That's not true.
Right.
So that would not be correct. All right. Because that orange hasn't been modified. All right. So we're really talking, when we think about ultra processed foods, we're thinking about foods that have been modified from their or from what they were originally what their original composition was. When we add chemicals, we add all these other things. So the reason I say that it might be a better choice to get some items, you know, locally is because there's at least less chance of that. But the having, you know, fresh meats and fruits and vegetables, will still get you to a relatively good place. It's when we start thinking about the canned foods often have additives, right? So we want to be careful about those. When we start thinking about things that that are kind of, might be desserts and staples in our diet, like ice creams, that's a processed food, right? And many juices are also processed foods. So these things that might be, you might say, oh, this is healthy. It might not be the best choice.
We are talking to Yale Dr. Brian Wojak, and recently there was a report looking at how many of our calories are coming from ultra-processed foods. And again, this was a report that came out from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, and it was run by the CDC. And it showed that among Americans ages 1 and older, an average of 55% of their total calories came from ultra-processed foods, which, Dr. Wojak, I thought you did an excellent job in really explaining where that comes from and really why we're not just talking about going through the drive-thru of your favorite fast food restaurants. We're not just talking about having too many chips at a party. We're talking about regular diets for people. And some of the findings in this study, I think, are really alarming. For example, in this survey, it says among adults, those ages 19 to 39, they consumed the highest percentage of calories from ultra-processed foods, 54.4%. And again, compared to adults, 40 to 59, with 52.6%. Adults ages 60 and older consuming 51.7%. What I gather from this is you're seeing more than 50% of your calories, again, across adult ages, certainly consuming it, but even kids also consuming way too much. So talk to us a little bit about, we certainly know how we can cut down on that and just be aware of it, but what if you don't? What happens if people don't take reports like this seriously? What does this lead to, having so many of our calories come from ultra-processed foods?
Sure. So, you know, they've done a meta-analysis, which is kind of a look at a bunch of different studies, all right? And we know that this is linked to higher rates of heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and all-cause mortality, so death, all right? So those are all things that we want to avoid as much as we can. So I think that's the kind of striking findings that we know. When we look at those analyses, the relative risks weren't massive, okay? But there wasn't. The average risk wasn't massive, but the relative risk was high. So the big picture is that there were significant increases in heart disease, diabetes, obesity, death. You might ask why. Right.
Yeah.
The why is there's another really interesting study where they looked at patients, right, or really study participants, and they patients were I think it was 7 days, may have been 14. In either case, for one part of the study. They had a processed, an ultra-processed diet, and for the other part of the study, they had a non-processed diet. All right, during the part of the study where they had that processed diet, patients had ate more calories, gained weight. They had no changes in palatability, as far as how hungry or full they felt. Okay. Didn't necessarily feel any better on the processed week. All right, they at least claimed that there was no palatability, no change in palatability. Now, what I'll tell you is that processed foods are built to be highly palatable, right? So patients will have a tendency to eat past their normal sense of satiety. We call this the like hedonic drive, right? Mm-hmm. So you actually have a different drive, all right? You get you get reward from this. It's just driven by dopamine in the brain, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So our normal drive as far as satiety is can be overridden a little bit, and people eat past their normal sense of feeling full. Right. And that's by design.
Right, they're over consuming.
And if you eat more chips, you know, you can sell more chips, right? And, you know, the company sells more chips. So it makes sense to make these things delicious because more of these things will, more processed foods will come off the store shelves.
Yeah, I think, again, like you said, there's certainly a trickle down effect when you don't even realize that you're over consuming. And again, back to the initial point of our conversation, realizing that a lot of the things you are consuming are considered ultra processed foods, and that can lead to a lot of health risks, unfortunately. And it's something that I don't think it matters what age you catch it, but the sooner you can catch it, the better, and start to change some of your habits. So, Dr. Wojak, I want to thank you so much for giving us the time here on WICC and giving us your perspective, certainly, as the assistant professor at Yale University in the section of endocrinology. Thank you for giving us feedback on these findings. We really appreciate it.